Greater Kaldah 4. Orithisian, the Exiled. Orithisian awoke from death and struggled to move, but Barjans pinned him in place. "Wretched Ploshaws," he growled, and the noise bounced off the barrier closest to him. "If only I were not cursed." Had he been free to access the channels of power, he would not be in this predicament. Amandal would have fallen within Tardalim at their first encounter. Unfortunately, the only semblance of strength Orithisian had retained was his immortality, and the supernatural endowment he had received from his master, the ability to become a dreaded Quan Tassaran and evoke irrational terror. But that had not been enough to subdue his foes. True, it had been a favorite form of his during the many battles against the rebellious Ploshaws and their allies. He had been nigh unstoppable. But then he'd also had the freedom to manifest the channels of power. "If only I can break this Barjan," he thought, and attempted to transform. But something held him in his true form. If only he could free himself, he could utilize his divine gift and send these Ploshaws into a delusional frenzy. As he struggled, four of the wretched Ploshaws, in the form of men, approached with determined gaits. Two had Finisars hoisted upon their backs, while the others bore no visible weapons. One of them had used Zinnerath to deliver a death blow. Though Orathisian had felt the blade's sting only once before, its bite was unmistakable. But no, Zinnerath's wielder could not be the same Ploshaw he had once faced on the plains of Vesikar. That wretch would have to be over 8,000 years old, if Helleron were correct. He'd had no opportunity to probe the minds of any Tulidyne besides the child's, so he couldn't know for certain of time's true passing. The humans he encountered, even those who had freed him, had no recollection of the war to subdue the rebellious Ploshaws and their allies. "We've slumbered into oblivion." He and the other divinities sealed within that miserable sphere had faded into nothing more than myth. Orathisian supposed few men knew his name or the divine station appointed to him by his master. That enraged him. The world needed to know the powers that governed their existence. "The renown of terror will spread once again." The four fools stepped close. One, who wore a metallic mask and was girded in the armor of an Aridian, removed a black sphere from a pack. The sphere was about the size of a man's head and filled with glistening specks that resembled the myriad of stars to which Kaldah belonged. Another, who wore the white scaled armor of what the Ploshaws called the Ulksha, took the sphere, and parts of his armor liquefied. The scaled plating around his right hand and forearm receded, revealing the words of the divine tongue etched into his flesh. The words spiraled around his forearm, woven in seven strands. An external will entered Orathisian's mind, the probing of that wretched Ploshaw. Images and memories flashed in his mind, extending from when he was freed from his cell to his battle with Amandal Aramian. The probing faded, and the Ploshaw held the black sphere aloft. It began to glow white, while the symbols etched into the Ploshaw's flesh became glistening gold. But the words rose from his skin, reforming in the air.
"That cannot be an incantation," Orathisian thought. Perhaps the sphere was a Tevis roll of some kind.
The other three stepped away as the sphere began to glow. One burst with white light and took his true form, but the Aridian armored fellow and the other ran. Perhaps they were not Shah Kaldah. Flakes of snow lifted from the ground as a shimmer washed from the Ploshaw holding the black sphere. The white light surged skyward, as did the distortion. More snow shot upward as if pulled by some powerful force. Soon, both Orathisian and the armored Ploshaw with the sphere rose from the snowy plain, but he could not feel the rising sensation.
A true Barjan negated such forces. Once in the air, Orethisian spun, but not of his own volition. He glimpsed the frigid plain for a moment, and then everything changed. The imprisoning Barjan vanished, and scorching heat washed across his scales. In that same instant, the sky changed. What was once blue was now pale tan. A tremendous force pushed him downward, and he tried flapping his wings, but the force was too great, and he soon hit unstable ground. Heat pierced his scales, while was that sand washing over him? But how was that possible? He couldn't have traveled through a portal, and there were no deserts on Kaldah. At least not during Chesareth's reign. He and the Master had changed the entire world, making it more habitable for mankind. Orethisian struggled to stand as a burning wind assailed him, pushing him downward. It howled past him, hurling sand across nearby dunes.
"What is this place?"
The wind forced him into the sand, but his snout remained atop a dune.
"Another world," a deep voice said. "Your very own realm of exile."
Struggling to rise, Orethisian managed to turn his head toward the voice. It came from that despicable Plasha, who stood atop a dune's crest, holding the black sphere under one arm. The wind did not seem to affect him in the slightest. In his other hand, he held an orange shard.
"Enjoy your new prison."
The Plasha turned human, held up the shard, and leapt skyward with ease. The ground beneath Orethisian gave way, and he tumbled sideways. The jolt turned him in a way that allowed him to watch the Plasha speed through a shimmering sky and toward an enormous sphere rimmed in white light. The sphere spanned at least a grand finial in diameter, and within it was a distorted view of a snowy plain and a lone mountain set against the backdrop of a clear blue sky.
"Tardalim?"
The Plasha hit the sphere, then appeared upon the landscape within it. The sphere's surface rippled, and then it collapsed upon itself. The oppressive force pinning Orethisian vanished, and the wind lessened. But instead of blowing down, it blew across the dunes. Now able to stand, Orethisian climbed atop the shifting dune and looked about. Winds howled across dunes that spread as far as he could see. A vibrant red sun hung above the distant horizon.
"Another world?"
Orethisian knew such realms existed, but the means to traverse the stars was not something his master had revealed, neither to him nor to the other gods.
"So how could those wretches accomplish such a feat?" "They had help."
Orethisian knew that voice. He spun, kicking up sand. Wind howled past a tall, masculine human figure in a red robe. His face was obscured by the blowing sand, but his white hair hung to his shoulders and he looked to have a full white beard. The emblems of divinity were woven into the robe, all seven.
"It has been some time, Orethisian."
The wind settled and the sand dropped. Though the newcomer's face was wrinkled, Orethisian recognized him.
"Chesareth? Is that you?"
The robed man chuckled, and his sapphire eyes flashed with amusement. Had Chesareth been hurled to this desolate place as well? But why had he aged? Sand blew through the robed man.
"The visage,"
Orethisian muttered. He bowed, lowering his arms so his neck and snout lay upon the sand.
"Forgive me, my master."
The visage grinned and stepped soundlessly across the dune.
"Your reverence is not necessary, Orethisian. And no, Chesareth is not trapped on this desolate rock."
He glanced back across the darkening horizon.
"His prison is far from this world."
Curiosity crept into Orathisian's mind as he lifted his snout. What could have toppled the Jezerithian Empire? Helleron hadn't said what he learned from the Tulidyne. The men who had freed them had feared something called the Crimson Eye. But their interpretation of it baffled Orathisian.
"That is not something that concerns you,"
the visage said as he eyed the wounds Orathisian had sustained.
"It seems Amandal was quite formidable.
He knew of the Conjurer?"
"Of course he knew,"
Orathisian chided himself.
"And a good thing he was," said the visage. "He is important."
Orathisian raised his scaled brow.
"But isn't he dead?"
The visage laughed, his mirth becoming somehow ominous.
"Oh,"
Orathisian said.
"You intervened. But why did you not do so sooner? I nearly killed him on several occasions. He and I could have escaped together, and I would not be trapped here."
The visage quelled his laughter.
"You are where you need to be, Orathisian. Besides, if you had relented, then Amandal would not be what he needs to be, and he would not be hidden from those platinum beasts. Any deviation from that would throw everything into disarray. The Unspoken One cannot rise without Amandal or his prowess, nor can Chesareth return."
"I do not understand," Orathisian said.
Amused, the visage related a prophecy given by Chesareth after Orathisian's imprisonment. It told of a man who would wield his power without the use of incantation. Orathisian was incredulous. Although many of the gods had been endowed with the ability to manifest the channels of power without words, could a man be blessed with such prowess?
"That can only lead to folly." "I assure you it won't," said the visage. "This one, the Unspoken One, is the harbinger of Hemrana."
Orathisian shuddered at the mention of his master's sacred name.
"He will usher in the reign of Kaldar's true god, and Amandal Aramian will be beside him. He is a boon companion to the harbinger, upon whom he will rely during his most troubling trials."
Orathisian turned away. The sun was setting and the heat began to dissipate. Though he was immortal, the scorching heat was still irksome.
"How long will I remain in this prison?" "Until after the advent of the Unspoken One,"
the visage replied, sensing the thought.
"You shall be among the first to return home to Kaldar. But for now, you should come with me. Leave your body here, and travel with me to Vabenok."